If you eat out occasionally, you know that servers can range from helpful to rude to attentive to invisible. I guess customers can too. But some of the women on our staff were really impressed with the way this waiter went out of his way to take care of them. They went to a Mexican restaurant, and every time their salsa was about half gone, he would notice, he'd quickly bring more, same with the chips. When they asked for a special dressing for the chips, he made sure they had plenty all night long. And later, when they tried to put their leftovers in the plastic container, he said, "Oh, please, no. I'll do it. That's my job." Wow. You probably want to know where this restaurant is, right? He insisted on putting the containers in a bag for them. Well, they were really impressed with his service. And then he brought the check with his name stamped on it. And they were blown away. It just said, "Thank you, Jesus." Well, thank you, Jesus. I'm Ron Hutchcraft, and I want to have a word with you today about the most powerful person in the room. Okay, the server's name was officially Jesus, or Jesus, but his unselfish, "What can I do for you" spirit, offered by a man with Jesus' name, said a lot to my friends. I don't know what his relationship is with Jesus, but he understands how one who bears his name should live. Our word for today from the Word of God comes from Matthew 20, verse 25, and it spells out the rare and radical lifestyle that should make a believer stand out as much as that waiter did that night. Jesus says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be the first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The highest title in the kingdom of God is not chairman or pastor or president. It's servant, because that's the role your master chose. The ruler of the galaxies, the prince of glory, the one who washes dirty feet, touches those no one will touch, loves those who can ruin his reputation, lays down his life for those who have no use for him. Oh, but how we love to be served, huh? To have things revolve around us. The conversation, the attention. How we tend to want people to meet our needs instead of living to meet the needs of others. Our nature, let's face it, it's to be self-serving, especially at home, with the people we should be serving most. But Jesus proved over and over that the one who is there with a servant spirit is ultimately the most powerful person in the room. People listen to someone who's all about serving them. They confide in someone who's all about them. They trust them. They remember them. So at work, where you have so much pressure, do people see you as that busy, self-absorbed coworker, or the one person who makes them feel cared for, heard, noticed, important? When you're with your family, do you want them to revolve around you? Are you putting them first? At church, in your ministry, is it about promoting you or promoting others? Years ago, during the Touched by an Angel series, I remember one episode that showed one of the angels, in their human form, of course, washing the dirty feet of a very unsavory man. And when he objected, she looked up at him with a pained expression and said, "I must do this. It helps me remember who I am. A servant." Well, that's who you am too. If you bear the name of Christ, a Christ one, a Christian, you're a life signed by Jesus. That means you do not come to be served, but to serve.